Welcome to Gateway Church's podcast. Wherever you're tuning in from, we hope you're encouraged by today's message.
How many of you would like more peace in your life? How many of you really pretty seriously need more peace in your life? Well, I always pray about what I'm going to teach, and I felt like God wanted me to teach on the dangers of strife. And so I put my message together, got it all on the computer and put it together, and then I happened to turn I was doing something on YouTube. I wasn't even looking for a message by me or a message here, but it pops up, seems like about a year ago when I was here, I taught on strife. And I thought, oh, I guess I didn't hear from God. Maybe I guess I better get a different message. Then I felt like God said, nope, they need to hear it again. Amen? Because we don't always get it the first time we hear it, do we? Amen? You know, peace is something that Jesus said that he left us. He bequeathed it to us. In John 14:27, it says, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you, but my own special peace I now give unto you. And so the kind of peace he's talking about is the peace that can operate in the midst of chaos and turmoil in our personal lives, in our professional lives, or in the world like we're experiencing today. I think most of us would say that in our lifetime, we have never seen a time when there has been this much widespread chaos in the world and among individuals. But in the Amplified Bible, as that scripture continues, Jesus said, so stop allowing yourselves to be upset and disturbed, and don't allow yourselves to be fearful and intimidated. So he's telling us his part, what he did. I've left you my peace. Now, you stop allowing yourselves to get upset. So we have to let that sink in a minute. Oh. Well, I've been praying for peace. But what have you been doing when the opportunity comes to get upset or to stay calm? You say, well, I can't help it that I get upset. Well, you know, we use that I can't help it excuse a lot. And I did a lot in my life too. But I had an experience one time that taught me a good lesson. I would get upset, get mad at Dave, yell at the kids, whatever we do when we get upset. You know, when we get upset, we usually take it out on the people that we love the most because we know that they can't get away from us. They have to put up with us. So I was having one of my little tantrums, and I was yelling at the kids and not being abusive, but just angry. And all of a sudden, I kind of had like an epiphany from God. And he said, now, if your pastor rang the doorbell right now, let me ask you a question. How fast would you calm down? Well, I can tell you by the time I got to the front door, I would have said, Pastor, praise God. It's so good to see you. Come in. Oh, the kids, oh, they're playing in their rooms. They're just fine. Yeah, the kids are just fine. And honestly, that really did teach me a lesson. And I hope you can use that example in your own life, because what it really showed me, I knew for sure if him or anybody else that I wanted to impress you know, know, the only way we get free from anything is to be truthful with ourselves about why we're behaving the way we're behaving. In John 8, it says, if you continue my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But it's not the truth about somebody else that will set me free. It's the truth about me. And, you know, the Holy Spirit is sent into our life to teach us all truth. That's one of his main jobs, is to teach us truth. And so the Holy Spirit was giving me an opportunity to learn something big, which was I could control myself when I really wanted to. You're all kind of looking at me like, well, that's nice for you, but I can't. How many of you know that you can control yourself when you really want to? Are you sure? Maybe, I don't know, maybe you don't want to. I don't know. Come on, help me a little bit. I woke up at 2:30 this morning, went and prayed and a couple hours, and then I went back to bed and slept for an hour, and then I got up again and flew here from St. Louis and had lunch with some friends. And so I've had a pretty long, busy day, so I need you to be nice. How many of you really? Now think about it. Think about what I've said. Because as long as we keep using the excuse, I can't help it, we will stay in bondage. And I came to a point in my life, maybe 20, 30 years ago, where I thought, you know what? I am fed up with being upset all the time. And I would see my husband, he would be just as calm. Now, Dave has a different personality than me. He's a little more naturally laid back and calm. And he didn't grow up the way I did. I grew up in a house that was just full of turmoil and strife. And he didn't have it real easy growing up. His dad was an alcoholic, not a violent alcoholic, but he was an alcoholic. But his mother was really great, strong Christian woman, took them to church all the time. He was born again. He was filled with the Spirit. And he just would cast his care and not worry about anything. And I worried about everything. And he was calm and trusted God, and I said I was trusting God, but still worried and got upset all the time. And, you know, we're really not trusting God if we're worrying at the same time. We may be trying to trust God. And we all start out that way, but when we really get around to trusting God, then we don't worry and we don't get upset, because even though we don't know what God's going to do, we believe that he's going to do something. And even though we don't know when, we know he won't be late. He may not be early, but he won't be late. So I made my mind up that if he could have peace, I could have peace. And he was a great example to me, and I appreciate that about him. And I believe that God wants to use us, especially in the days that we're living in, to be a great example, not only to our family members, especially to our children, especially if they're still young and living under your roof and being trained by you. And it's not what we say to them that trains them, it's what they see us do that trains them. I'm going to say that again. It's not what we say to them that trains them. Oh, it does to a certain degree. It has some effect. But it's what they see us do that trains them. And so Dave's example to me was great. And I really appreciate that about him. And we are living in some very unique times. You might say they're the worst of times and the best of times. I think that we have opportunity today to be lights in a dark place. And you can preach a sermon everywhere you go just by actually acting like the Christian that you claim to be. And so can I. And one thing the world needs is peace, and the other thing they need is love. And if we can be peaceful in the midst of turmoil, and we can love people who are not easy to love, that's going to preach a louder sermon than any preacher could preach on a platform anywhere. Amen. You agree with that? What do you think would happen if everybody who claims to be a Christian acted like one? I mean, seriously, what do you think would happen? So I just want to put it out to you first. Jesus has left us peace. To be honest, we don't even really have to pray for peace. We don't have to pray for God to give us peace because he already has. So I change the way I pray when I feel myself getting upset or if I've waited too long and already gotten upset and know I need to calm down. I pray, God, please help me appropriate the peace that is in me because you've given it to me as your gift. Now I need to accept that and receive it and calm down. And you know, you can talk to yourself. Do you know that you can talk yourself into a good mood if you want to? Yes. Or you can talk yourself into a bad mood. A couple of weeks ago, I got up one morning, I don't know why, I don't even remember why, but for some reason I just kind of started to think a couple of negative things and maybe a couple of poor me things. And then I just said, no, not going there, been there, done that. And I started purposely thanking God for everything that I could think of and thinking about how blessed I was. And you know, it only took probably less than 2 minutes and a day that could have ended up in the ditch was turned completely around, and I had a great day. You see, a lot of times we want to put all of this off on God, but we have a responsibility too. He's given us what we need, but we have to appropriate it and act on it. In Ephesians 3:20, it says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we could ever dare to hope, ask, or think. Then it ends with, according to the power that worketh in you. And I don't think I ever really fully understood that, because we'd all like for God to just do it all. But you see, he works through us. He doesn't do everything for us, but he does things through us. He gives it to you, then he wants it to go through you to other people. So God gives us peace, and he wants us to receive it, be at peace with ourselves, and then let it go through us to other people. He gives us love. He wants us to receive that and even learn how to love ourselves in a balanced way, not a selfish, self-centered way. But you need to love the you that God has created, that you're becoming. Amen. You know, we're all in the process of becoming. It's like we have an image inside of us. We're being transformed into the image of Christ. So we're becoming what we already are. And you have to understand the word for that to make any sense. But the Holy Spirit is helping us day after day after day be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Well, we don't see Jesus ever getting all upset, hurrying and rushing around telling his disciples, come on, hurry up, we gotta get over here. I was starting to get that way a little bit in the back room because I didn't know it was as late as it was, and I asked somebody what time it was, and they said it was 4:04, and we were still dabbling around with makeup, and I was like, right away I got, but I'm getting ready to come out here and teach on peace. Amen. And Dave's helping with my microphone, and I said, just stick the wire in there, just, you know. And then I had to say, Joyce, the world won't end if you're out there a couple of minutes later than you usually are. I always lie. I can't stand to be late when I'm the one that's going to preach. Amen. And I mean, I knew we were going to have worship, and I really had plenty of time, but It wasn't going according to my plan. Hello, is anybody home out there? It wasn't going according to my plan, so, you know, there's no point in trying to do something about something you can't do anything about. It's all right, I need a drink of water. Clap all you want to. Now, this will really help you if you'll let it. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we could ever dare to hope, ask, or think, according to the power that worketh in you. So God will do it in you and then let it go through you if you cooperate with Him and if I cooperate with Him. Amen. I've been studying the Word for 45 years and it's taken me a long time to get to knowing some of the things that I know now. And I'm so grateful for the Word. And I'm so grateful for some of these little lessons that God has taught me that really turn out to be big things in my everyday life. So what have we said so far? You can control yourself if you really want to. If you were having the biggest argument with your spouse you have ever had, screaming and yelling at one another, and I rang your doorbell, how fast do you think you'd straighten up? Okay, not me. Okay, Pastor Robert. How about that? If that doesn't work, how about Jesus? Because you know what? He is there anyway. He lives in us. And there's nothing that we're hiding from Him. When we started our ministry, or when I first started thinking about starting a ministry, back in 1977, I guess it was, the Lord spoke to my heart, and this is what He put in my heart. There's three things I want you to do, and if you do them, I'll bless your ministry. Keep the strife out of your life, out of your home, and out of your ministry. And I don't even know that I fully knew what strife was at the time, but I knew it was the opposite of peace. And He said, do whatever you do with excellence. Don't be a mediocre. You know, and excellence doesn't mean perfection. It just means to do the very best that you can with what you have. I mean, you can have an old car, but you can keep it clean. Amen? And He said, be a person of integrity. Always do what you say you're going to do. Amen? Now, those are three simple things. There are three life principles which every person and certainly every Christian should base their foundation on. Wear your shoes of peace, like Ephesians 6 says, if you expect to defeat the devil, then you have to put on the armor of God that He's given us. I want to say again, I think sometimes we want to put it all on God. And yes, nothing happens without prayer. But you know what I find happens a lot of times when I pray? God doesn't do something for me. He shows me something to do. My husband was having a real hard time with feeling jittery and nervous. He called it having the yips, whatever that is. But he's such a peaceful person that any kind of feeling of nervousness really bothers him. I was kind of used to it myself, but, you know, it really bothered him. And so he started praying about it, and God just simply showed him that he was consuming way too much caffeine. He was going by a fast food restaurant and getting a 32-ounce soda every day that had caffeine in it, and he drank coffee, and he ate sweets pretty much every day. And so between the sugar and the caffeine, he had gotten to a point in life where his body was not handling that. You know, sometimes You can do something at a certain age and stage in your life that just won't work for you anymore when you get a little bit older. Is anybody finding that out? You see, only a fool thinks they can always do what they've always done. I found out that I couldn't keep working like I did 30 years ago. I had to make changes. And we constantly in our life have to make changes and adjustments. And if we don't, we'll make ourselves sick and then ask God to heal us. And sometimes when we ask God to heal us and nothing changes, it's because we're not listening to what He tells us to do. I'm preaching better than you're acting. Okay, now, I don't intend to do a health lesson tonight, but some of you, if you just got more sleep. You know what, all those were guilty laughs. How about drinking some water? Oh, I don't like water. I personally know two people that died with kidney disease because they never drank water. They drank other stuff all the time. Most of the other stuff has a lot of chemicals and caffeine in it, and water is the only thing that will really cleanse your kidneys and your body. So, like I said, I'm not here to do a health teaching tonight, but you'd be amazed if you just start asking God, why am I having this problem? If you're really willing to hear what He has to say, He might show you, and you might not like what He shows you because you'd much rather it be anything other than something you need to change. I'm smiling bigger than you guys are. So what about strife? What is strife? Strife is bickering, arguing, heated disagreement, and an angry undercurrent. Bickering, arguing, heated disagreement, and an angry undercurrent. And I think the angry undercurrent is the most dangerous, because that's when everybody kind of senses that something not good is going on behind the scenes, but everybody's still smiling at each other saying, especially in church, praise the Lord. Come on, I remember the days when Dave and I would argue all the way to church. Come on. Don't you know if the devil can start anything, it's going to be on Sunday morning or Saturday night or Friday night or whenever you go to church? I mean, I know some pastors that them and their wives drive separate cars to church because that's the only way they can get there in peace. And it's important when you get here that you get here in peace, and it's important that I get here in peace. Because we can sit and smile at each other and say, praise the Lord, but nothing sinks in if we're in a turmoil. I can remember being in the front row with my hands lifted up, singing I Surrender All, and thinking, if he thinks I'm going to cook him anything to eat today, he's got another thing coming. For all I care, he can starve. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I can remember when we'd argue all the way to church, but boy, when we saw that first parking lot attendant or greeter or, oh, Dave and Joyce, praise God, how are y'all? Praise the Lord, we're fine. And that's not the way God wants us to be. That's that angry undercurrent. And if you think that it doesn't get in churches, you've got another thing coming. Because the devil hates us. And the one thing he does not want us to have is unity. and peace, because as long as we're fighting, the world is not going to pay one bit of attention to anything that we have to say. Now, I actually have a real concern, because there are so many people in the body of Christ that are mad at somebody. I just had our yearly women's conference. We held it this past year in San Antonio, Texas. And I guess maybe you were there. Anybody here was there? There were 16,500 women there. And on Thursday night, I asked how many of them, I did a little exhortation on it first, and I asked, how many of you have somebody in your life that you need to forgive? Will you stand up? And I was shocked. 90% of the 16,000 stood up. And if you were there, you saw it. Now, what are we going to do? I mean, we're living in very dangerous times. What are we going to do if we don't make a decision that we're going to stop it? Jesus said, I've left you my peace. Now you stop allowing yourselves to get upset and disturbed. Stop allowing yourselves to be fearful and intimidated. I want to be the kind of person that before you get finished offending me, I've already decided to forgive you. And the only way that can happen is, yes, through prayer, but also through special study. You need to be familiar with every scripture in the Bible that talks about anger. Anger does not promote the righteousness that God desires. You need to be familiar with Mark 11 that says faith can move mountains. You can say to that mountain, move, and it'll have to move. And whatever you pray for, believe that you receive it and you will get it. It doesn't say when, but it says you'll get it. And there's a waiting time, and that's the testing time. And then it says, and if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, leave it, let it go, drop it. Because if you don't forgive, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive you. Now that, I mean, if we're really going to believe the Bible, then we can't just pull out the I'll bless you and prosper you ones. We can't just keep only wanting to hear God loves you, He forgives you, you're precious, you're created with His hand, He's got an awesome future plan for you. All of that's true, and we need to hear all that. But we also need to hear some of these other things, because the Bible says First Corinthians 1:9-11, God is faithful, reliable, trustworthy, and therefore ever true to His promise, and He can be depended on. Boy, how many of you are glad about that? He's faithful. You can depend on Him. He's always going to keep His word. Verse 10, but I urge and entreat you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in perfect harmony and full agreement in what you say, and that there be no dissension or factions or divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in your common understanding and in your opinion and in your judgments. So he's saying, God is faithful, but I've heard, if you go ahead and read it, from Chloe, that there's bickering and arguing and strife and dissension among you. So he says, God is faithful, but you need to get along. In Psalm 133, it says that how pleasant it is where there's unity. I love peace. I love those first couple of hours in the morning when nobody's up. I can get along with everybody when nobody's there. How many of you find that you can just be so godly when nobody's home? Play your Christian music. Watch Joyce Meyer on TV. Read Pastor Robert's latest book. But boy, when the people come in, that's when the trouble starts. Now, I obviously don't have time in the amount of time I have in one service to do this the full justice that it deserves. But I'm trying to pick some of the key and most important scriptures that God has used in my life to teach me. I want to try to impress on you how important this is to your life and to the plan of God for the world that we live in. Now, I've been thinking a lot about our young people, about our kids, our teenagers. And how many of you would agree that a lot of children today are extremely confused? I mean, people doing things today that I'm just like, how can you even dream that up? One school I heard about, and it happens to be in the district I live in, sad to say, there are some children who identify as furries. And so the school provided them with a litter box to go to the bathroom. Now, they'll put furry tails on and sit up on the window ledge in the classroom like a cat. And you know what? That's sad for them. That the world has gotten so confusing that people don't know who they are anymore. But let's look at a scripture. And I've taught on this scripture, I don't know how many times, but I've never seen it like I did a couple of weeks ago. James 3:16. For where there is jealousy, envy, and contention, which is strife, rivalry, and selfish ambition, there will also be confusion, unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of evil and vile practices. So, certainly not making any accusations, just throwing it out there for anybody who might need it. Wonder how many of those kids that are so confused live in a house where mom and dad are arguing and fighting all the time. And I'm not saying we have to be perfect for our kids. They have to learn how to deal with stuff. I'm not saying if you have one argument in front of your kids that it's going to throw them into confusion, but if 90% of 16,000 Christians were willing to stand up and say, yes, I'm angry at somebody and I've not forgiven them. And the sad thing is I can do that pretty much anywhere I go and get the same result. And I'm just saying that we have a problem and we need to address it and we need to start dealing with it. And that means I need to deal with it in my home. You need to deal with it in your home. You know, even in the church today, we don't deal with stuff the way that we should. Not like Paul did. Titus 3, 9 through 11. But avoid stupid and foolish controversies and genealogies and dissensions and wrangling, which is strife, about the law, for they are unprofitable and futile. Now, these are New Testament Christians that had at one time lived under the law, and so they spent a lot of time arguing about the difference between law and grace. I think we still kind of have that argument today sometimes. So he said, stop arguing about stupid stuff that doesn't make any sense. Verse 10, as for the man, and this is a man in the church, who is factious, a heretical sectarian, and a cause of division, after admonishing him a first and a second time, you give him two warnings, reject him from your fellowship and have nothing more to do with him. Now, you know what we would say today? Well, that's not being loving. There was another man that Paul talked about who had committed incest, and he was not repentant. If a person's repentant and willing to change, then I believe God wants us to go to the mat with them and work with them forever. But if they're not repentant and they're not going to change, and we let them just sit in our midst, maybe I got the wrong crowd for this. I don't know. You know what Paul said about that man? He said, put him out of the church, turn him over to the devil. But that's not all he said. He said, so that perhaps his soul might be saved and he won't end up in hell. So if I understand Paul correctly, the church was such a holy and an awesome and a powerful place that when people were in the church and functioning as a body, there was actually a protective covering over them. And so he said, we can't just let a lot of sin get in the church, know it's there, and nobody deal with it. You know, I'm 80 and I've just decided I'm going for it. I am not going to stand before God and have him say, why didn't you address the things that really needed to be addressed? You know why we don't? Because we don't want to make anybody mad. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We don't want anybody to leave the church. But everything the Apostle Paul did, he did it for the good of the people. He didn't do it to hurt people, and he was walking in love when he did some of those things. Because love is not always, you're so sweet. And if you really read the things that Paul said, he told Timothy, your job as a preacher is to urge, warn, correct, rebuke, and encourage. He didn't say just encourage. He said, you warn them. So I'll just tell you, maybe I'll talk to myself. Joyce, if you don't deal with the strife in your life and get rid of it, it's going to affect you and the people around you in a very adverse way. Amen? And if you need that, you can have it. I'm only doing this because I really care about God's people. And I don't want to play church games anymore. I really want people's lives to be changed by the word. And I don't want us to just be Christians in church. I want us to be Christians at home. I want us to be Christians at work. I want us to be Christians in the grocery store, in traffic. Yeah, in traffic. That's one of the few times when I see my husband get a little bit uncalm. Must be a woman driver, and I want to go. Oh, and I've seen him get a little feisty on the golf course, too. Not so much now, but man, when he was younger, whoo. Sometimes those clubs went flying. He's calmed down so much now, though. On the golf course, we're still working on traffic. No, he's good. I just got to have fun. Okay. The only way that we're going to keep strife away is to confront it and deal with it. And I'll tell you what it takes. The Bible says in Proverbs that the only way you can have contention is by pride. You can't have it any other way. So the only way that you're going to have peace in your home is if you also have humility. And just to bring that to a practical level, here's kind of how it works. You have to be willing not to be right in an argument. Oh, you better be glad I've only got 6 minutes left. You have to be willing to say, I was wrong. It was my fault. I'm sorry. You have to be willing to not argue at all. It takes two people to argue, you know. Nobody can argue by themselves. You have to learn to listen in a conversation when it starts to get heated up enough that you can tell somebody's going to blow a fuse if you don't change the conversation. And if nothing else, get out of the room. If you want to have peace, you have to be willing to keep your opinions to yourself sometimes. Do you know that just because you don't agree with somebody does not mean that you have to tell them you don't agree with them? Did you ever think of that? Well, I don't agree with that. Well, the devil's trying to start a fire and you've just thrown some fuel on it. Knowing how to keep your opinion to yourself. Our older son, Dave always says, I say they're my kids, they're actually our kids. Our older son, David, he had a pretty feisty temper, and he's 58 now, so you know, you start calming down a lot the older you get. Because you're just like, it ain't worth it. Nope, not going there. He said one time, he said, you know what I finally figured out? Being right is highly overrated. And you know, really when you think about it, what do you get other than that little smug feeling for just a few minutes? But what comes after that? The same devil who tempted you to argue to be right will now make you feel guilty because you argued to be right. And you'll feel good about it for maybe 30 minutes until you calm down, and then you'll get this, which was there all the time, but because you were so emotional, you couldn't hear the Holy Spirit. You know, when you're in the middle of a conversation that's getting ready to go in the wrong direction, at least I've gotten to the point where I can hear the Holy Spirit say, how many of you agree that you cannot have peace if you don't have humility? What is so hard about saying, I think I'm right, but I may be wrong? I mean, could you just open your mind to the possibility that you might be wrong? I mean, Dave and I used to argue over some of the stupidest stuff, and it was mostly me. I'll admit that. Things like we'd be going somewhere and maybe there were two ways to get there. And he'd go to the entrance subdivision and turn right. And I'd say, what are you going that way for? You need to go to the left. That's the shortest route. No, it's not. This way is the shortest. And there's so many more important things to be doing than that. I was doing that one night, and the Lord said to me, just let the man go whichever way he wants to go. Just, who cares if it takes 2 minutes longer? What difference does it make? You know, I had a call on my life, and here I am arguing over which way to get to the hardware store. Or we'd argue over who an actor was on TV and then stay up to 1 o'clock in the morning, watch the movie waiting for the credits to come on so we could prove who was right. I don't do that stuff anymore. Now I go to sleep, usually before the movie's over. You know, just to make sure you understand what I meant when I said we don't deal with things the way we should in the church, I am not in any way suggesting that we should ever be mean to anybody. I'm not ever suggesting that we should not accept people that are different than we are. But the house of God is a place to bring people to repentance. And if they won't do that, I always say this. I can hang out. Excuse me. I can. I can hang out with somebody until, as long as I am affecting them and they're not infecting me. Yeah. Amen. Well, I think we better end this with a prayer. Close your eyes for just a minute. Lift your hand up if you need to forgive somebody and you're willing to do it tonight. Come on, nobody's looking but me. Father, I pray for each person that has heard something from you tonight and they're willing to take action in this area. And I pray that you will give them the grace they need to follow through and to let go of the things that they need to let go of. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, let me say one thing. Just because you pray to forgive somebody doesn't mean you're going to feel any different about them the next time you see them. Forgiveness is not how you feel about somebody, it's how you treat them. Every person that you're angry at, you pray for them every day. It's very hard to stay mad at somebody that you're praying for on a regular basis. Amen. Thank you. I hope you got something out of this.
Thanks for joining us today. If you'd like to connect with us, text CONNECT to 71010 or visit gatewaypeople.com. We hope you have a great week.